The leper came and said, "Jesus, touch me, make me whole." But first of all, the leper asks this question, and if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 8. The leper came and worshiped him and asked a unique question to Jesus, and the question was, "Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean, if you want to." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I want to be clean." The leper said, "Jesus, if you want to, you can make me clean." And Jesus says, "I want to." Jesus wants you well, and Satan wants you ill. It's as simple as that. But I believe we come into a great problem when we, and if we, that is, indeed accept exclusively the cross-centered spirituality, which included Jesus wanting to make people well. Jesus has placed healing in the church, and he hasn't taken it out. We have. Or there's so many reasons why we've taken it out. Or it's not dignified for one thing, and maybe it may be misused by other groups of people. But Jesus has placed healing in the church. Jesus replied in verse 3, "Of course I want to." Now this was in first century. But in 1975, we say it this way. Jesus probably would have come to the man and said, "Well, why don't you just learn to accept your leprosy? Why don't you just accept it maybe as my Father's will so that you might grow through it or learn something through the situation?" We've lost a lively touch with what the gospel is all about. When we take out healing, and rightly so, we emphasize salvation, but the salvation includes the total process of living to dying. In the whole spectrum, and that includes times when we are healthy and times when we are sick. Today, healing is taking place in the churches, and healing is taking place outside of the church. And the main thing that God seems to want to show people today is that he loves people. He is concerned about people, and he wants to draw people near him. And so he appears, to me, more anxious to touch you, as we heard so beautifully sung, than we want to be touched, because we're happy the way we are, we think. If you are a believer tonight, would you lift your hand and then with that hand turn to Mark 16. Here are your marching orders, and they're from Jesus via the speaker, Mark 16, 17, and 18. "These signs shall follow them that do what?" Believe. "These signs shall follow them that believe." If you lifted your hand as a believer, then these signs are to follow in your life. And what are the signs? "In my name you'll cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick." And what will happen? They shall recover. These are the marching orders. And to deny or to minimize the healing ministry in the church today is in a way to take away the inherent power that Jesus has by his life placed into the body of believers. 1 Corinthians 4:19 and 20 tell me that the kingdom of God is not just words, it is power. But I don't see much of the power nowadays as I looked at first century Christianity. And I begin to wonder, has God changed? God hasn't changed, because the scripture says he's the same. He was the same yesterday, he's the same today, as he will be tomorrow. So then, if God has not changed, ouch, that means I've changed. Someone wrote, "Christianity is more than a doctrine, it is power. It is power to transform our lives. It is power to destroy the evil that separates us from a loving God and that which separates us from our neighbor. Jesus came to bring us a new life and to share in God's own life. And we've always believed these things, but where is the reality of it? Where is the power? truly to change lives? Well, the power is in Jesus, and Jesus sets up the ideal. And he says, come to me. But we don't want to, Jesus. We got other things to do. Come to me, and I'll show you, and I'll do for you as I did for those. And then he says, Jesus, as you come to me as a believer, you will do more things, greater things, than I did. This can blow your mind if you stop and think about it. Look what Jesus did. Well, you can too if you're a believer. You held up your hand, I am a believer. Then the only thing that keeps you from the power is the short-circuiting of God's availability. It's the faith. So he holds up the idea. And you know what will begin to happen in King City, in your life, in your churches? Well, we'll begin to start praying for the alcoholic, that the Lord will take away his inordinate craving for drink. We'll begin to pray for the drug addict that the Lord will help him kick his habit cold turkey. And we will even dare to pray for the lame man that he will walk. That is what will happen when we come to grips with the fact that the power is still available. All we've got to do is make the connection and be available so that Jesus might work through us. Well, he doesn't do that, and it's not his fault. It's my fault, because it's so much fun to sin. Wow, I can think of a lot of things I like to do that's fun, that is sin. And when I sin, I put that corrosion on that connection. And after a while, it becomes so corroded that I don't make my connection with Jesus. Or I put so much impurity of pollution in the pipe that comes, speaking figuratively from heaven, that it all gets clogged up. And now, instead of a gushing forth of a fountain, there's just a little trickle. But as I confess my sin, and as I apply the blood of Jesus through that tube, it just opens up freely, and then the power of God comes forth. Now you're saying, well, that's really great. You're a pastor. Well, that is great that I'm a pastor, but it's great for you too. If, and there's only one stipulation, you are a believer. All you have to be. And when we learn that from our own experiences what Jesus meant, then his words will echo as we read in John 14:12. I tell you most solemnly, whoever believes in me will perform the same works I do. I made sure it wasn't a typographical error. It's I will give them, and they will perform the same works as I do myself. He will perform even greater works. Why? Because I go to the Father. Since Jesus is at the Father right now, he then can give all of you all of the power that you need. And no longer will we hide our Christianity, but we will perform what Jesus wants us to perform. Now, we've been talking about healing. A few weeks ago, I spoke on the subject, I am the Lord God, thy doctor. I don't want to repeat anything that I said then. The tapes are out, but they're available when they come back in. I want to talk to you tonight about four kinds of healing that you can do, and when you heal, you've got to know the type problem. If you have a paper and a pencil, you might follow the blackboard as somebody, I don't know who, but if somebody comes to the blackboard and writes down something for me. Would somebody write one thing on number one? Would you write down spirit sickness? There are four kind of healings as I see them. Some would say there are many more, some would say less. Since I'm preaching, there are four. Four basic kinds of healing, and number one is spirit sickness. This is a result of personal sin. Let me back up. When a person comes to my office, as I think of one man in particular, and said, Pastor, I want you to heal me. First of all, I tell him I can't do it, but I can pray for this power of God to work. And as we started talking, I discovered that this man, certainly he needed healing, but there was something more that he needed. He needed his sins to be forgiven. He had an unhappy marriage. He wanted his marriage healed. But as he spoke to me, I saw that there was an underlying symptom and illness that needed correcting. He needed to be healed first of personal sin. So spirit sickness is one kind of healing, and this is personal sin. It is removed by repentance. It puts you in a right relationship to God so that other things can be healed. Spiritual sickness has caused physical sickness in many cases. It has caused physical sickness. If something is wrong on the inside of my heart, it can easily find its manifestation outwardly in the form of a disease or of an illness. And so one kind of healing is spirit sickness. You recall the time when the four men brought their friend to Jesus and they couldn't even get in the door. And they went to the roof and they rolled back the awning or they pulled away some of the tiling. And they let their man down by four ropes in the very center of the service. Jesus, first of all, healed the man of his sin before he healed the man of his physical ailment. So when we minister to people in regarding healing, we've got to know what needs to be healed, and there's a prayer for each one of those things. The second thing is this. It's problem sickness. Problem sickness. This has to do with emotions. It has to do with hurts. It has to do with forgiveness, etc. There are some people that have problem sicknesses that date back to their childhood, and there are some people who have emotional sicknesses that date back to the time when they were conceived in their mother's womb. There is a healing of memories. We don't want to belabor the point, but it's sufficient to say that problem sickness is something that has to be dealt with sometimes, first of all, before a physical healing is dealt with. If you've never forgiven somebody, then that can be an inner illness that you need to be healed from. This is an emotional type deal. Hurts. And so problem sickness is very, very crucial. A third type healing is this. This is the body sickness. It has to do with the physical. It has to do with disease. It has to do with illness. This is the type healing that we mostly think of when we talk about healings. The other morning, somebody said, I didn't need to come down when you asked for people to come forward to be healed because I was healthy. I felt so good. I was really healthy. Well, praise the Lord, they were. But there are other kind of healings for which we come and ask prayer. Body sickness, of course, is the most obvious one. Jesus has died for all of the ailments that we suffer. Your headache or your leprosy, from the mild to the crucial, as we would term it. Jesus died on the cross for all of your aches and pains, and he wants you well, because by his stripes we've been healed, already healed, if we will claim it. There's so much more we could say, but it's been said already. Would you put down number four, satanic sickness? This is demonic oppression. There's some people who have, for various reasons, got involved in something that has caused Satan to send one or more of his precious demons into their life, and people become ill. Satanic sickness. This is why when we pray for people who are sick, we ask that all of the spirits of infirmity be bound and cast out. Jesus did this. Cast them out of the man and into the herd of swines. Basically, these are the four kinds of healing that Jesus dealt with and that we are dealing with. Different healings, different sicknesses, different prayers. We must know how to help the individual, because we can actually harm the individual by insisting upon one diagnosis when something else is wrong. Now you're saying, why in the world are you telling me this? Simply because Jesus has given you the power to pray for somebody and expect to see them well. And it's happening all over the world, increasingly so. Why shouldn't it? Jesus is the same. We are the ones who've changed. But we must know what the diagnosis is. This is why it's so important to be sensitive and ask for the spirit of discernment. Doesn't the Bible say that if you ask for wisdom, he will give, and he will not hold back any wisdom at all. You take a middle-aged lady who comes to the pastor and says, Pastor, I've got arthritis like you've never seen or heard. I want you to give me a physical healing. But as the pastor talks, he finds that she is deeply hurt, or was deeply hurt by her father, which is an intertype healing. When she was young, she had a deep hurt, and she never had forgiven her father, nor he her. Repentance is necessary here. And on top of all that, as the pastor talks, he finds that she can't even relate to her husband. So there's inter-healing that has to take place. And in search of trying to be removed from all of this, she went to somebody and got involved in a seance so that she could try to find herself. And as a result of this, she became demonic. And as a result of this, she's got all these kind of problems. But she comes and says, I've got arthritis. The Lord can heal the arthritis. We've seen it and we've heard about it. In fact, everything can be healed. But there are other things that had to be dealt with this person when she came to the pastor. All of the other type sicknesses that she had. And then God works through us all and with the physicians as well to heal all through prayers. And God today, as I see it, is calling together us all. And happy will be the day when the physician can work with the theologian, and together they can pray for and properly take care of a patient. Because medicine is important, lest I be misunderstood. Don't throw your medicine away, at least not the first day. Let the doctor work, because God has ordained that this be. But bear in mind that there are many illnesses that we need not bear, but we bear them. Anybody who prays for healing should have a healthy respect for these four types. Now, there are several means, if you want to jot these down in passing. The Word of God is a pattern, and God tells us that there are four ways whereby you can receive a healing. If you're ill in any way, and you follow the Bible way, and you're still not healed, then leave it in God's hands. In that way, you can say, I don't understand it, Lord, because I certainly can't fathom you, but I will accept this as your will for the time. And here are the four ways. God's word is healing. The word of God brings health. Secondly, the laying on of hands. Third, the anointing with oil. And fourth, the spiritual gifts. You don't have to do or involve yourself in these four things at all, because Jesus' power is available without this. He can bypass it all. But for some people, these things, 1, 2, 3, or 4, are very, very essential. One lady said, I needed you to touch me so that I would be encouraged to pray the prayer of faith. The laying on of hands is important for some people. For others, it is not. But it's a Bible way. And so after a while, when we ask people if they want to come forward for prayer, and the Lord speaks to other people to come forward and pray for them, people will place their hands on you and pray for you. It is the Bible way. But I must say very emphatically that everyone is not ready to be healed. And this is why there are no healings. Next Sunday morning, I want to speak on 7 reasons why people are not healed. Everyone is not ready to be healed. Well, Jesus saves, and praise the Lord that he does. Turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. He called his 12 disciples together, and he did something. The same thing that he did for the group of 72. He gave them power. He gave them authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This is what he did. He sent the 72, he sent the 12, he sends you to heal the sick. Lord, I can't heal the sick. I'm only an insignificant believer. Well, why can't you? Since the healing of man, his spirit, his emotions, and his body is an essential part of the message of salvation, we can now see why Jesus gave his disciples the power. And he's given you the power according to his word. The power to preach the same message of good news that he had preached. Not merely a doctrine, but that which contained the very power of God liberating men. Liberating men from the wretched state that he was in. And the church today is a continuation of the ministry of Jesus. The church today is a continuation of the power of Jesus. When I turn to Acts 4, I notice something very unusual. That when the people prayed, they did not pray to preach and to heal, but to preach by healing. Acts 4:39. Are you having trouble finding that verse?
Yes.
Well, at least you're following in your Bible. Trudy, we've got to change that typewriter. Typewriter's not typing. In the book of Acts, believe me, and I won't take time to find it, it says that they did not pray to preach and to heal, but the prayer was to preach by healing. Not just to get the church started, but the vibrant today church is the church that believes that God is alive and God is on his throne and God is indeed healing people. Well, you're probably like St. Augustine. At least there may be one tonight like St. Augustine that said and preached and believed and wrote that all of these things ceased when the canon of Scripture came to a conclusion. And when the church got started and began its rolling and moving, then all the healing stopped. St. Augustine believed that, and he wrote about it. But in the year 427, 3 years before his death, bingo, something happened. He said, Lord, I've been wrong all these years. He experienced over 70 healings, of which are recorded, and he took back everything he said. He took back what he said. So if you be one who says, no, 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 don't say it too loud. You may have to eat your words. Mark 16, 17, and 18, we read to begin with. We'll read again. These signs will follow. They'll follow them that believe. You tonight, in my name, you will do a lot of things. And one of those things, you will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How do you do it? Write this down. You pray with confidence. Would somebody read Mark 11, 22 and 23? Pray with confidence, believer. Would somebody read this?
And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Believe and not doubt. So pray with confidence. Secondly, pray with thanksgiving. Would somebody read 1 John 5, 14 and 15? 1 John 5, verse 14 and verse 15. Pray with thanksgiving. Stereo. Praise the Lord. And the third thing is to pray in the Spirit. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Would somebody read these two verses? You pray with confidence, you pray with thanksgiving, and you pray in the Spirit.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
That is why when people come for healings oftentimes, I am utterly forced to pray in tongues because I don't know the situation. I don't know how I should pray. And so I use my prayer language. This is why ministers today, especially when many people are coming forward for healings, just go to people and just for maybe 20 seconds, pray for somebody in their tongue and go to the next person. And let God's magic work, which indeed it will. So, as a believer, you've been commissioned to go forth and perform these works. And that it means healings, according to the Word of God. And so, you pray with confidence, you pray with thanksgiving, and as a Spirit-filled person, you pray in spirit. Listen to Peter's version of all of these things. Acts 10, verse 37. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Beloved, God is with you right now. The emphasis is on what he did, not what he said. What he did was the message of the gospel, not what he preached. So we put everything in a box, we wrap it up with a lovely bow, and here's the message for you, 1 John 3:2. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. My prayer for you. Let's stand as we pray, may we?
In the stillness of the moment, would you talk to God and, as a believer, reaffirm your commitment to Him?